Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting that, I think we're going to have that greeting up there anyway. This greeting that Christians have been using for, I think, as long as there have been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thank you. And welcome to all of you who are joining us online. We're glad you're with us, too. I would love it if we could start our service just with a brief word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, God. We are so grateful for the ways that you are with us all week long. And then on Sunday mornings, you gather us together to sing to you and pray to you and listen for you speaking through the scriptures and to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. God, we are so grateful for these times where we can kind of step out of the busyness of everything else and just give you our focus and our attention for an hour. God, thank you as well that you meet us right here in the middle of all of it. That we don't leave behind all the stuff that we have buzzing around in our heads, all those things that weigh on our hearts. We bring those with us into this time of worship. And God, we present them to you, along with ourselves. We come to you as we really are, and you meet us here. So please, God, would you touch those places in our hearts that need your touch today? Would you heal what has been wounded? Would you comfort us in our grief? Would you strengthen us where we're weak? Forgive us where we failed. Give us wisdom where we need it. God, there's so many different ways that we need your presence and your grace to be at work in our lives. Thank you. Thank you that we have these moments to be reminded of your presence and your love. You've shown us that love so concretely in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. So it's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing. We're glad to have Doug and Mary leading us this morning.
sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as a life endures. My chains are shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be with the melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.
Would you bow your heads with me? Let's continue the prayer we've begun with these songs. God, we are so grateful for the amazing grace and love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We enter into your presence today, God, worshiping you, thanking you for this amazing love, this amazing grace, that you would see ordinary, messed up people like us, and instead of just condemning us or pushing us away or refusing to have anything to do with us, instead you came to us in your Son Jesus Christ, shining your light into our darkness, helping us to know that our Heavenly Father is not angry with us, is not rejecting us, but that you are just waiting for us to turn so that we can be embraced by you, so that our sins can be washed clean, so that we can be adopted into your family, so that we can know ourselves to be children of God. Your grace is so abundant, overwhelming even the enormity of our sin and our failures. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so good to us, beyond anything we could even start to deserve. And thank you, God, that as we walk through this life, as we find ourselves weighed down by this grief or that concern, God, we find that you are there giving us strength. We find that we can turn to you with all of these needs and find that you are the faithful God who walks with us through these difficult times of life. Thank you, God, for the ways we can look back and see the ways you sustained us and strengthened us and guided us and got us to where we are today. Whether we were looking for you or not, God, you never gave up on us. And so we have every confidence that as we move into the days to come, into our future, whatever that may hold, God, we have confidence in you, that you will guide us well, that we will have strength from you, wisdom from you, that as we trust you, God, you help us to live the life you created us to live. You help us to live a life that is filled with hope and joy and peace and love toward others. Thank you, God. Thank you. All the stuff going on in our world today, all the things that drive us nuts, all the things that that put us at odds with each other, God, you are the one who brings peace. You are the one that helps us to see your faithful love as the calm center in the midst of the storm. You are a sure foundation, God. Thank you that we can be rooted in your love, that we can be anchored to you. Thank you that we don't have to be blown back and forth by all the stuff of life, but instead we can walk through life with this calm confidence in your love, in your power, that you have the final say. Thank you, God. Thank you for embracing us as your children. Thank you for getting us into this place today. Whether we're here in the room, whether we're watching online, you've got us, God. You've got our attention. We are here. Speak to us, we pray. Work in our hearts. Help us, God. The things we've been praying, the things that we've been singing, help them to be true in our lives today. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes, extend that peace to each other. Shake someone's hand. Introduce yourself to somebody. Wish them a happy Sunday, the peace of Christ. While all of us in the room are finishing up conversations and stuff, I want to just say hello again to those of you joining us online. And since we didn't get to shake your hand just now, drop us a line in the comments. Let us know you're here. We'd love to know you're worshiping with us. And if there's something you need to communicate more privately than that, you can always go to the link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, and fill out that little online connect card. Let us know how we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, answering a question for you. And all of us in the room, we can do the same thing. Or there's some little green cards on a little silver table back there to the left of the door as you were to leave, and say connect card on them. You can fill out one of those if you'd like. If there's some question you have or some way we can be praying for you, just drop it in that little offering box right there before you go, and that way I can follow up with you this week. If you're giving today, you can drop that in that box as well, or scan the QR code or go to the link on the screen. All of that stuff works. And thank you again to those of you who give so faithfully to support the work that's being done here and around the world through this church. God is at work, and it's a good thing to be a part of it. Some different things that are happening. If you got one of these little handouts, if not, I see some of those back there too. So we've got next Sunday is Living Hope 101. If you're curious, want to know more about the church, we're going to have a little lunch together, and I'd be happy to introduce you to who we are and our 25-year history and what it would mean to plug in here. So just let me know you're coming, all right, so that I can make sure I've got enough food and everything. And then Tuesday next week, not this Tuesday, but the next, this Tuesday is Tudor Taco Tuesday, if you want lunch in here and support Special Olympics. But next, the next Tuesday for women is one of those women's Bible studies is happening again. It's a 6-week thing from 1 to 2:30 p.m. So it's this one's being led by Tammy Scheibel. Tammy, you want to wave to folks? If any of you have questions, ask Tammy in the yellow shirt. She'd be happy to answer them. And so that starts next week. She would love to know you're coming if you haven't already told her, because she wants to make sure she has enough books for everybody. And then next week, Thursday, nothing's happening this week, right? Except for Taco Tuesday. But then that next Thursday night, the 23rd, is the next Joyful Noise worship night where some of us and some folks from other churches get together here and worship God together, sing, pray, listen to a message. And so, yeah, we invite you to join us for that. And if you're curious, when I see that, I always think of Missy, because she's one of the people helping coordinate that. And if you're curious where she is at the Awakening Weekend right now. It's part of the Great Banquet, but for teens, and we've got a couple of our teenagers there. Thank you to all of you who've been praying for the Men's Weekend, the Women's Weekend, and now the Teen Weekend, because we have seen God move in people's lives, and it's been a beautiful thing. So Courtney's back here nodding real big. She went through the Women's Weekend, and she was just there helping serve breakfast this morning for the teens. So if you have questions about that today and want to know more, you could ask Courtney. So yeah, it's a good thing. And before we dive into this morning's message, I wanted to remind you, we prayed for Pastor Judy last week. She's preaching at another church this morning, and then she's taking a trip down to Brazil, and then she's going to be sharing with us a couple Sundays from now what that was all like and some of the things, good things God is doing there that you help support, by the way, with every gift that comes in here. But then also we've got a family that's getting ready to head out from here, move to someplace else. So Cheris Cotton and her family, her whole crew are here today, and they're getting ready to move to Washington. And so we're going to miss them deeply. But I was wanting just to pray for them before they go, that God would bless them. They've been a blessing to us as God brought them into the Valparaiso area. And some of you have participated in a Bible study that she led. Some of you have been blessed by her in other ways and blessed by their family. And so I want to pray for them that God would continue to use them to bless other folks everywhere that they go. You don't have to come up. You guys, I'm going to come to you, all right? So we're gonna pray for the Cotton family back here. And all right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for blessing us with this crew. And now, God, we pray you'd give them safe travels, that you'd work out all the details as far as housing and moving and all the rest, schools, all that stuff, God. We are confident that just as they've been a blessing to us here, that they will be a blessing to whatever church they land in there and to the neighbors that they have there. God, continue to pour into them because you know that they are people that you are, that they are going to pour, let your grace pour through them into the people around them. Oh, thank you, God. Bless the Cotton family with joy in their new location, new neighborhood, new place. You are good, and we are grateful, God. Thank you. I guess while we're praying, God, we pray that you'd help us to hear what you want to say to us through your word as we kind of quiet our hearts a little bit. God, we want to hear you speak. There are things that we need to hear. Whether words of encouragement, words of challenge. God, I pray, as the guy that's going to be standing up front talking, I pray that you'd help us not to just hear my voice, but that we'd hear your voice speaking through your word. And if I get to play some little part in that, great. But God, the important thing right now is that we hear from you. So thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to be a part of your good work in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was peeking while I was praying, trying to walk up a little bit. So, yeah, but thank you, guys. You really have been a blessing to our church. And we look forward to maintaining some connection through Facebook, text, whatever, in the time to come. So we're in the halfway point of this little three-week series that some of you love and some of you hate, because we're talking about money. And I know that some of you, that's a sore subject for one reason or another. Some of you, that's the reason you quit going to church a long time ago. And I'm doing my best to make sure that's not something that happens during this time. In fact, I want to start with my favorite verse in the Bible about giving right there. It's important enough to us. We put it on the little offering box in the back, and it's meant to help put all of our hearts at ease. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, which means I'm never going to twist your arm, never going to guilt trip you, okay, anything like that. We are going to talk about money. In fact, we talked about it some last week. We talked about the truth in the next couple of verses. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. A couple of verses later, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God blesses us so richly. And I understand that some of us, we talked last week about how God led his people from slavery in Egypt through the dry, dusty wilderness with the snakes and scorpions, and how he provided for them just kind of daily bread each and every day. He provided, but it wasn't a whole lot. And he was preparing to lead them into a rich promised land where the crops were going to multiply and their wealth was going to multiply and they were going to be kind of lap of luxury living. And we just acknowledge it. For some of us in the room, we're already kind of living there, right? Life is good. Our resources are multiplied. We've got extra beyond. Our needs are met, and then some. Some of us are still kind of living in that wilderness part where it's like, well, I don't have much. You know, I've got just enough to make it through each day, and it's a little bit of a scramble, a little bit of stress to make that happen. But wherever we are, God continues to provide, and he helps us to learn some things in those lean times that help us to be more responsible stewards, managers of his resources in those good times. Because God doesn't want to just provide for our needs. He wants to bless us so that we can help others to meet their needs. And unfortunately, we live in a world that way too often kind of pushes us in a different direction. That tells us, nope, I worked for this money. It's mine. You keep your hands off of it. Pastor, don't tell me I should be sharing this with anybody else because you don't know what I had to go through to get this money. And this is mine. And I'm going to keep it in my own pocket. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. That's what the world tells us. That's what the world teaches us, unfortunately. And we're going to look at a few things that Jesus says that kind of push us in a different direction. In fact, here's Jesus from Matthew's gospel. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our Bibles that tell the story of Jesus and his teaching, his life, his death, his resurrection. And we hear Jesus say, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, it's an uncertain thing when we store up stuff here because Things here wear out. Things here are temporary. Some of you noticed earlier this year, actually right at the end of last year, this whole year now, that I'm driving a different vehicle than I did for several years before that. You know, I was driving this blue minivan that got a little beat up over time. We had our boys show up, and we needed something that we could, had sliding doors so that when we parked in the parking lot, we could get the car seats in and out. And so minivan was my vehicle for several years until the transmission went out, and we realized, oh, okay, we need something a little more reliable. And so it was time to say goodbye, and we got a brand new Hyundai Santa Fe. It's black. It looks great. I'm happy with it. We just ended up, just in case you're curious, we ended up with the all black just because that's what they had on the lot. I was going for a different color. They didn't have that one available. We ended up with that vehicle because we wanted something with certain features for the boys and for us, and that was the vehicle that met all those features, and anyway, we're happy with it. And we were keeping it mostly clean. And then a couple weeks ago, I was going to pick somebody up for lunch, and somebody was going the wrong way down a one-way street coming to meet me, and we tried to scoot over enough, and they hit the side of my car as they scooted by. Still feels brand new to me, you know. You can still see the little white mark on the side. If you look close, it's not much. I'd still need to find the time to take it in to have that taken care of. But, you know, some of our treasure is there in that vehicle, and so our hearts are there. That's what Jesus says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You got money invested in the stock market, you care when the stock market goes up and down and sideways, right? You got your resources invested in a business that you're starting, you care a whole lot about that business, right? Wherever your treasure is, your heart is there too. And so Jesus says, so think about where you put your treasure. If you just store up a big pile here, then your heart's just going to be here in the temporary stuff, you know. But if you store up treasures for yourself in heaven, then those last forever. And we'll talk in just a bit about some of the ways that we can store up treasure in heaven. We touched on it last week, we're going to touch on it a little bit more today. But our treasure and our hearts are linked, is what Jesus says. You know, when you care about something, you find yourself wanting to give to that, right? When you care about something, you're going to find yourself wanting to spend money on that. It pulls both directions, right? What you care about, you're going to want to put your money there. Where your money goes, your heart's going to be there, whether you want it to be or not. So maybe, that's something to think about. If you find yourself having trouble, maybe, if you are asking yourself, why don't I care more for my neighbors? Why is my heart cold toward people that others' hearts seem to be warm toward? I see people having compassion, and my heart just doesn't feel it. Well, you could try pulling your heart that direction, I guess, by like, well, maybe you invest some time or some resources, some energy in serving some of those folks, and you might be surprised if your heart comes along for the ride, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, he continues and says, it's a weird word picture here, because this isn't how we think about eyes, and it's not, anyway, Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. It lets the light in, all right? If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And this doesn't quite translate to us because we don't have the same idiom, the same saying that they did. If you had a healthy eye, that meant you were generous toward other people. If you had an evil eye or a stingy eye, an unhealthy eye, it meant you were kind of closed to other people. And so I've kind of been picturing it like having your eyes open toward others, your life open, your hands open toward others, or having your hands closed and your heart closed and your eyes closed. Like, I don't want to see that need. Nope, don't show me that. Because if I see that, I'm going to want to help, and I don't want to help. I'm going to keep it here. And he says, boy, you end up living in darkness. You got to let the light in. You got to be open toward others. He says it's a dark, dark place to live when you close your life to other people and the needs that are around you. And then he says what we heard Luke say last week. Luke's got his version of Jesus' life. Matthew's got his. And so we just heard this last week. Matthew says it too, that where Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one, love the other, or you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and the devil. Wait, that's not what he says. You cannot serve both God and a political party. Well, he doesn't say that either. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what he said. He says money will try to rival God and will try to pull your heart in a direction that God doesn't want it to go. You know, God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to beat with his. God is looking at the people in this world, and his heart breaks for our neighbors, breaks for you, breaks for, you know, the things that when he sees people suffering, we see that over and over again in the Bible. When people are crying out in misery, in need, God is moved. God's heart goes to them, and he begins to answer prayers and to help people. And so when God is moving, he wants us to move with him. He wants our hearts to beat with his. He wants us to care about the people he cares about and the things that he cares about. He wants us to be on joining him on his mission in the world to help people experience his grace and his love, his transforming love. And sometimes that's going to include our resources, right? Sometimes that's going to mean, you know, helping someone financially or giving to a church or some other part of God's mission in the world. You know, donating to help people who are, you know, to an organization that's helping people who are being trafficked, you know, or people who don't have clean water or whatever it might be. And when God is pulling us in that direction, helping us to care about it and wanting us to give to it, you know, our money, like, sometimes like a picture of that old ball and chain kind of thing, you know, like where the prisoner had the chain around his ankle and the big heavy ball, you know, like God's moving us this direction, and money's like, yeah. Maybe I should think of my dog. Oh, man, we've got this golden retriever, Moose, who is a lovely animal. He's almost a year old, and we're looking forward to that day when he settles down a little bit. But he does not love riding in cars. He has to ride in cars sometimes, and you get him within about, he can get about 6 feet from the car now before he just puts the brakes on, you know. And you just have to go pick him up and put him in the back of the car. And I'm kind of picturing how, like, God is pulling us. That's the picture in my head. God is saying, come on, you know, we're going to go get this done. We're going to go help these people. We're going to go serve these people. We're going to go, you know, the mission's going this way. And it's like our money is back there going, no. I'm staying right here. You work too hard for me. If you give some of me toward that, you might not have enough for later. And money tells us all kinds of things to try to get us to not participate in what God is doing. You can't serve both God and money. At some point, you have to make a choice. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to participate in what he's doing in the world, or am I not? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. He did. He worked hard. He made sure he provided for his own needs and then had extra to share with others as he traveled around telling people about Jesus. And then he says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's an interesting little phrase. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of those four recorded it. But Paul had heard it. He remembered that Jesus said this, and he quotes him. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I was talking to one of you this past week, and you were thanking me for the message this last Sunday, and because you're one of those that you decided long ago God got a hold of you and got you to begin to tithe, got you to begin to give to his work in the world. And the person I was talking to said, boy, the one thing you haven't mentioned yet, I hope you do, is the joy that comes with it. I said, man, when we finally got our heads in the right place and we started giving to God and to his work, giving to his church, man, all of a sudden there was a joy there that we weren't feeling before, you know. All of a sudden there was this joy of being a part of what God's doing, returning to God a portion of what he's given to us. Suddenly it all felt like blessing. It all felt good. And then you could testify to how God was richly blessing you along the way. How you were able to, God provided in so many ways. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I know that can be hard to believe if you've not been on the giving end much, because it's definitely blessed, you know, blessed to receive, right? I love receiving. I don't know about you, but I love receiving. People want to give me something, I'm like, oh yeah, sure, why not? You know, let's do it. And you know how good it is to, like, you know, receive that gift or to receive whatever that might be. That comes your way, and it's like, oh, thank you, God. You know, I needed this. Boy, you provided. It's a beautiful thing. And Jesus says it's even more blessed to be on the giving side of that, to be the one giving and meeting that need, to be the one giving and participating and knowing that you made a difference, knowing that you're a part of what God is doing. He said it's more blessed. There's blessing there. There's joy there. And I don't want any of us to miss out on that. I want our hearts to be filled with that kind of joy. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said to the people listening, watch out Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he's talking to some folks that maybe had heard about the blessings of receiving and hadn't, you know, kind of got their heads around the blessings of giving yet. He says, so be careful. Greed is going to try to convince you. Money's going to try to convince you that life is all about how much you can pile up. And then he told him this parable. Jesus loved to tell these stories. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, self? It doesn't say that, sorry. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? And Jesus says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Here was somebody who found himself with lots of extra, right? And he already had extra. He already had barns full of grain. And when all of a sudden he had more extra than he had planned for, more than he had room for, his mind, his heart didn't go toward, what will I do? Oh, this is perfect. I've got enough for me, and now I've got all these neighbors that don't have enough. I can bless them. I can help them. Boy, we could throw a huge party and feed a lot of people. Or I could send this on down to the food bank or the food pantry. There's all kinds of things he could have thought of in that moment. And all he thought of was, how can I hold on to all this for me? And Jesus says that is a foolish way to live. Because like we talked about last week with that dishonest manager, that shrewd manager, we all just have a limited amount of time that this stuff is entrusted to us. For however long we live, from whatever our birth date is to whatever our death date is, that's how long we have to manage the resources that are entrusted to us. And then someday, that time's going to end. Someday that job is going to be finished. And we'll have to give an account for what we did with what was entrusted to us. Not just our material goods, but our lives, right? Our relationships, everything. And if our life has just been about, let's see what I can do for me, God says, man, that's a foolish way to live. You should have been thinking about how to be rich toward God, how to be generous toward others. Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. That rich toward God thing, that storing up treasures in heaven thing that got mentioned earlier. How do we do that? What does the Bible say? What does it mean by that? Well, there's lots of options, lots of things the Bible talks about for where to give. We can give to his church, right? That one, I think, is kind of obvious. We're all sitting here in church, and you probably thought, oh, yeah, of course, there's a box in the back I can give to the church. And Malachi chapter 3, that's Old Testament all of a sudden. There's New Testament passages too, but this Malachi one is one that gets used a lot in churches. I'm not going to throw it on the screen or read it to you, but if you want to, you can later. That's the one that some pastors lean heavily on about God saying, bring the tithe, the whole tithe into my storehouse so my house will be full. You're robbing God if you don't give the whole tenth to the storehouse. In that day, with the people of Israel, the temple, when you gave to the temple, not only did it provide for the priests, who that was their livelihood, to lead worship for everyone who came to the temple throughout the year, it also provided for the worship of God and for the temple, and it provided for the poor, because people knew, man, they didn't have any. There were storerooms in the temple that ideally, if everybody did what they were supposed to be doing, there'd be plenty there, and when people needed help, they could come to the temple, and they would say, oh, yeah, sure, here, let us help. But the prophet Malachi was telling the people, hey, you haven't been doing that, and so the storerooms are empty. You've been robbing me. And now that we live in these New Testament times, we don't have a temple to go throw money into or grain into. It's kind of not how this works. The way that most Christians have translated that is said, okay, so if they give a tenth to the temple, I'm going to give a tenth to God through the church. I'll give to the church. I'll give to that place where I'm fed spiritually. I'll give to that place that's serving the community. I'll give to that place that's its whole mission is to continue the mission of Christ in the world. I'll give that first tenth there. And as God blesses me, I'll give more to other things and whatnot. So that's, you can give to God's church. That's one way to be rich toward God. God received, and he mentions that in Malachi, gifts to his temple as gifts to him, right? Or give to the needy. This is all over Scripture. In fact, Matthew 25 is the Scripture reference I put next to that. That's where you probably heard this quite a few times. It's where Jesus talks about how if you give to the least of these, if you make sure that they're fed, and they have food and water and clothing and shelter. If you visit them when they're sick or imprisoned, he says, when you did this for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Or when you didn't do it for them, you didn't do it for me. Jesus says, I receive those as being gifts aimed my way when you're serving the poorest and neediest of my brothers and sisters. So when we give to the needy, we're being rich toward God. A couple of other things Scripture talks about giving to. Give to what feeds your soul. That's some of those New Testament passages where the Apostle Paul is saying, like, look, if people have been good to you and blessed you spiritually, you should bless them financially. And while he wasn't taking advantage of it, he was working and providing for his own needs. He knew that after him were going to come pastors and leaders and people who, like, would need to be provided for. And so he was trying to teach people, look, give to the people that are serving you spiritually. Some of you do that by giving here, and then you think, oh, this is where I benefit spiritually. I'll give and make sure Pastor Rich can do this and that we have a pastor available full time and that kind of thing. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. My family appreciates that. Some of you, that's why you support other nonprofits, other pastors, other churches, other speakers, other organizations. I know we send some money different directions because it's something that we benefit from, and like, oh man, they're teaching me. I'm going to give to them. I'm going to support their work. And then give to what moves your heart. If your heart moves towards something, it's okay to give toward that. Remember, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our treasure and our heart are linked. And I pointed you toward the story of Nehemiah there. Again, Old Testament figure who his heart broke when he heard about the condition of his hometown of Jerusalem. When he heard that it was years after they'd been conquered by the Babylonians. Now the Babylonians have been conquered by other people, and he's living there in exile, and he realizes, man, the walls are still down, the place is still in ruins, and his heart is breaking. And so he decides to take that on as a project. God moves his heart toward that, and he begins this massive rebuilding project. Sometimes that's how God helps you to know which of these thousand different things I could give to, which one of these should I actually give some resources toward? Well, what is it that moves your heart? What is it that you find yourself caring deeply about? These are all ways you can be rich toward God, ways that you can live a life that is open, where the light comes in to your life. Live a life that is rich toward God, open toward others, where God knows that if he blesses you, that blessing isn't just going to all kind of stack up in your world and be hoarded, but that if God blesses you with extra beyond what you need, that you're going to be rich toward others. You're going to share that with those in need. Now, I've got a suggestion there in your notes. If you're just starting out, I'm grateful. My parents taught me this from the time I first had money. We're trying to do this with our boys as well. To help them understand, maybe you want to begin with the 10-10-80 plan. I don't remember who came up with this years ago, long time ago. I've heard it attributed to different folks, but the idea is you give 10% to God, that first tenth, kind of modeled after what he told his people of Israel to do in the Old Testament. Then maybe save 10% for the future. And I've heard some people say, you really ought to be more like 20% if you're going to be, the way retirement plans happen now and nobody has pensions anymore and all that, you really ought to be saving more than 10%. And then enjoy the rest, whether that's 80%, 70%, whatever you've got left after that, after you've been generous, after you've saved for future you, so that you're not out there with your hand out later because you didn't prepare, and then enjoy the rest. And God gives it to us for our enjoyment. He wants to meet our needs, and he wants us to be generous toward others. That's my suggestion. Now, I know if you've not been doing that, if you've been living on 100% or 110%, if you've been going in debt every month, then you've got some changes in direction to make, right? It's going to be a lot of change, and it might be difficult to just jump right to like 10, 10, and 80. It might be you got to take some steps toward that. That's okay, right? You dig yourself out of a debt hole. You begin to build up savings. You begin to be generous. But I would say, I would encourage you, don't put it all off. Don't say, well, once I finally got all this straightened out, then I'll be generous. Until then, it's all got to stay right here. I mean, you can try that if you want. But the testimony I've heard from person after person, family after family, is that that doesn't work nearly as well as it does when you begin to be generous now, in whatever way that you can. You begin to set aside some portion of what God blesses you with. Yeah, maybe a big chunk of it's going to go toward getting yourself out of debt, or a big chunk of it at current time has to go toward just meeting basic needs. But man, find something, even if it's a dollar, or even at 1%, whatever it might be, find some way to include generosity toward others, generosity toward God in your financial plan. Because once you start to do that, Like the person was telling me this week, man, there's a joy that comes with it. All of a sudden, your perspective begins to change. All of a sudden, you find yourself blessed with resources you didn't see coming, because all of a sudden, God sees, oh, this isn't just stopped up here. There's, like, this is flowing through them. Okay, I'm going to bless them so that they have their needs met and so they can be generous on every occasion. And you find all of a sudden, somehow, just the way things work, I guess, or maybe God really is faithful to his word, somehow you begin to have enough and then more than enough. So my encouragement would be, go ahead and be generous. And I got to tell you, some of the most moving gifts, acts of generosity toward this church over the years, to me anyway, have not been the folks that dropped $100,000 so we could buy the house next door when we were buying this. We had somebody do that. Even more moving than that was when we were moving into this building 11 years ago, and somebody was in the church who barely had anything. They had no consistent income. Now I think they get disability, but they didn't at the time. And saw an envelope come in with their name on it and a gift earmarked for helping purchase the new building. I thought, oh, man. They were giving out of what little they'd been able to scrape together. They wanted to be a part of helping their church buy this building so that we could have a place to minister here in the heart of Valparaiso. Those kinds of gifts, they have an impact. They are meaningful. Now, I put in your notes there, the ideal might be John Wesley's plan. If you've not heard of John Wesley, he was an Anglican priest. He founded the Methodist movement, and we in the Church of the Nazarene kind of branched off from them at some point. And so we look back to him as kind of our theological great-grandfather or something. And his plan that he encouraged all of his Methodists to follow was to gain all you can, or save all you can, and then give all you can. Or the way I put it there in your notes is that the gain all you can, he meant like earn an honest living. Like, don't just sit around and be like, nah, I'm fine. I got it. No, go ahead, earn an honest living. Work hard, earn what you can. And then when he said save all you can, he didn't mean pile it up. He meant don't waste it. And he gave some very practical tips to his Methodist folks about how, like, you know what, you don't need to drink there was something they were all drinking. And he's like, no, you just can grow these herbs in your garden, and that'll make a nice tea, and it's cheaper. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like telling somebody to, you know, make coffee at home instead of going to Starbucks. He was doing that for folks, saying, just don't waste it. Preserve what you can so that then you can give all you can. Everything above your basic needs was his motto. And then what he did, and what I've seen some others do, is you kind of set your life, you know, you say, okay, this is what we need to live. And as God blesses us, we're not going to do the lifestyle creep thing and just spend more and more on ourselves. We're gonna have a generosity creep instead or something. We're gonna increase the amount we give, and we're just kind of peg our lifestyle to, here's what we need, you know, to make things work. And then as God blesses us with more, we'll just be more generous. He did that. He encouraged others to do that. Maybe you want to do something like that. Maybe right now you're enjoying the remaining 80%, and then you get a raise, and you're like, oh, well, then you know what? I'll just keep the dollar figure the same, and I'll just increase how much I give or save or both, you know? And you can be a part of that. You can find your heart filled with the joy that comes from being on the giving side of things, being generous on every occasion. Now, I'm going to close with these verses from, again, going back to 2 Corinthians, this letter that Paul wrote. It's the chapter right before he says you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. You know, when you talk to God about it, talk to your whoever else is involved with your financial decisions, you talk and you decide and you give that, wherever you're going to give, however much you're going to give. Before that, as he's in the midst of talking with them about this this giving project, as he's traveling around raising money for some people experiencing famine on the other side of the world, he says, last year you were the first not only to give, but also have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So it's not about what you don't have. It's not about, oh, that guy gave so much more. They've got so much more. My gift doesn't mean that much. He said, no. If you're eager to give, then do it. Don't just want to do it. Actually do it according to your means. Whatever you are able to give, give that. And don't feel bad that you don't have more to give. He says, no, that's, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. God receives that. And it's a blessing to others, whatever that amount might be. Now, I had told you that I was going to try to have our church financial stuff available these next 2 weeks, and I completely forgot to print it out. I had it already and forgot to print it, so I don't have it available in the back. If you want to see what our church spends money on or what our church needs for different things, ask away, shoot me an email, grab me after the service and say, you know, put a card in my hand or something with your email address on it, or say, hey, I want to see that because I'm thinking about giving to the church and I want to know what you need. Or I want to know where that money's going to go if I do give to the church. I will tell you that this church practices what I preach up here. When you give to the church, it doesn't all just stay with us. In fact, we give kind of automatically, I think it's like 15%-ish, to work around the world. The World Evangelism Fund that goes to mission fields all over the world, pensions and benefits, stuff for retirement, stuff for like, some of it flows back to my retirement accounts a little bit, but mostly it's going towards some pension plans that they don't do anymore for retired missionaries and people who are still needing it today. Scholarships for kids going to Olivet Nazarene University, stuff that happens around Northwest Indiana, our district. So when you give to this church, you're already having an impact around the world without even having to try, because we as a church say, nope, we're not going to let it all just stay here with us. We're going to make sure that it goes to all the different places that God is at work. And you already know that we also participate in things like World Vision and Habitat. Oh, I got to tell you about Habitat next week. Okay, lots of things to tell you about. I'll try to make sure I've got it all in front of you next Sunday. But if you have questions, feel free to ask. We got to wrap this one up so we can celebrate communion and can go put this stuff into practice. God, thank you. Thank you for the ways that you bless us. Thank you that today we can begin, each one of us, we can begin to take steps toward generosity, toward not just wanting to give, but God, in some way, maybe a small first step, but in some way, God, you're providing opportunities for all of us to be generous, to not just think of ourselves, but to be rich toward you, to be rich toward others, to have eyes open, hands open, lives open to the needs around us, toward the work that you are doing in the world, God. Thank you that we get to be a part of it as a church, as individuals. Thank you for the ways that you have entrusted some of these resources to us. God, we want to prove trustworthy. We don't want to come face to face with you someday. And be unhappy with the grade we anticipate getting with the resources you've entrusted to us. God, instead, we want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be faithful with what you've entrusted to us. We want to be rich toward you and toward others. So help us, God. Help us to overcome the pull of money, to overcome the things we've been taught by our culture. Help us to be a part of your good work in the world. You have been so generous toward us so that we can be generous toward others. We celebrate that generosity, God, in the sacrament of Holy Communion. I mean, we give to you these little gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here that we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember that you held nothing back. You gave all of yourself for us and to us. With your disciples, you took bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. You gave them the cup, and you said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. Jesus, you said, this is the new covenant. This seals the new agreement between God and humanity, between us and you. That, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the door. You are the way that we find our lives transformed. You are the way that we receive the grace of our loving Heavenly Father, forgiving our sins, changing us from the inside out, helping our hearts to beat with yours. Oh, we're so grateful, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that by your death and resurrection, you defeated the powers of sin and death and the devil, and you set us free. That chain's broken. We are not prisoners or slaves. We're no longer slaves to fear. We are children of God. Thank you, Jesus. Today, we offer ourselves to you. I mean, you gave yourself to us. We give ourselves to you. And we acknowledge that we need your grace. The self I have to give you, God, is one that hasn't always loved you with my whole heart, soul, mind, strength. Not always loved my neighbors as myself. Haven't always been faithful with what you've entrusted to me. And God, there may be other things that today, as we're thinking about coming and receiving grace from you, that there's some things in our lives maybe that you're pointing out that we need to repent of right now. Things that we need to agree with you. Yeah, you're right, God, that's sin. I shouldn't be doing that. That's destroying me, destroying the people around me. So God, today we turn from sin. We confess it to you. And we come to you receiving so gratefully your grace, your mercy. Your word tells us when we confess it, you forgive it. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You wash us clean. Help us, God, to experience that washing, that cleanness, that lightness that comes with the burden being lifted, life being changed. Today, God, we pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that we can be changed from the inside out, so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, continuing the work of Christ, living in this world as your sons and daughters. Oh, we are so grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with this basket of bread and this cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got the regular like pita bread. We've got some round gluten-free ones if you need those. Or we've got the little individual cups where you can take it back and peel one part back and get the bread, peel another part back and get the juice. Some of you might have grabbed some of those from the basket by the door. If that's what you need, great. We want everyone to be able to participate in this, to receive God's gift of grace in a tangible, touchable, tastable way. It's this reminder that his grace meets us truly where we live. So let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks. I give you praise. Thank you, God, yes. Thank you for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, would you fill us with the Spirit of Christ? Would you change us from the inside out so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ? So that we might let your generous love and grace flow through us to bless the people around us, to bless everyone you send us to this week. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.